Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. Every Thursday, you will finally get to chill with us. Hosted by Andrew, we will be bringing on some of the quirkiest, geekiest, leading voices in the personal finance space to give them ample time to talk about their story, the lessons they have learned over time, and some good advice for all of us. No longer the short and quick stuff. So sit back and chill with TFC.
I buy crypto for my kid also. Just every month, just buy $50 of crypto for her.
So at age 21, she's gonna get,
I don't know, either zero or... But it will be real cool, right? I'm just gonna give her a ledger, say good luck. This is all I have for you.
Hosebo everybody, my name is Andrew. Welcome to another episode of Chill with TFC. This Hosebo opening is what my guest will do on his YouTube channel. He will always start off asking if you Hosebo and then goes on to share about crypto in Singlish. Definitely relatable to our Singaporean audience. On Chill with TFC, we talk to quirky and geeky minds to find out how they think about money and life. My guest is heavily invested into crypto and he didn't sell at the top. He also took on heavy losses from the drastic drop in prices in certain projects. Terra Luna. So you can imagine his portfolio right now. Now, despite that, most of his investment portfolio is still in crypto. Not scared, man. Isn't he afraid of losing it all again? Let's hear his thoughts and why he believes in crypto so much. His name is Boss Lee. Yeah, that's what his friends call him. So let's welcome Boss Lee.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So you've been doing startups for a while. Tech startups?
Tech startup, yeah.
Yeah, so you're kind of in a tech space, and crypto seems like a natural extension of that, since you're really curious.
So the interesting thing was, after I graduate, I only worked for a period of time. Mm. I think I worked...
Because you're doing startups.
I worked less than 1 year, then I decided to jump into the tech startup scene, the tech scene, right? I spent about 5 years doing my own thing. Mm. I think about year two. Because it's, you are in the tech scene, right? So sometimes you travel, go to conference, and I went to SB, and that's where I first heard of Bitcoin. Mm. And that was in 2015.
When did you start investing in crypto, though?
So in 2015, when I went to Silicon Valley. So I mean, that's the tech hub, right? That point of time, and there were a lot of things going, and I walked past this coffee place where you can pay by Bitcoin. I thought, wow. So cool.
That was 2015, right?
Yeah, I didn't really know what Bitcoin was. But because I was mingling around and some friends were there, right? So I thought, might as well I get one Bitcoin. Like at that point of time, 2015, because I thought, like own a piece of history, right? Because it was not very expensive at that time.
Just buy
I think
for fun,
it was like
right?
250 USD for one Bitcoin.
Okay, at 2015.
Yeah, and you can actually use it. Like technically go to the cafe, yeah, that you can use it and all.
How do you buy a Bitcoin at a point in time though?
I couldn't buy. The friends in the US bought it for me. Then they transfer to my a wallet and then I learned how to set it up.
Oh, you do have to set up the wallet, right?
Yeah. So it was quite troublesome. You have to turn it was not like mobile, right? It was like set up using a desktop, then you have to download the wallet, then you have to handle the keys. And that time it was like quite foreign for me. Like, wow, you have to do so many things. Like,
just for a cup of coffee,
just to get the asset in before you can use it. Because I'm in the tech scene, right? So I like, wow, like this geeky stuff and setting up and all this. After that, I never really do anything with it. I didn't buy any coffee. It's just that, oh, you can do something with it. Okay, let me own a piece of history. Have that Bitcoin. I almost forget about that. In fact, I told my co-founder, you want to buy or not? Like, I buy one, I send it to you, I have you set it up.
Right.
So, yeah, but he didn't buy any. Yeah.
Too bad for you.
But it was just one. So that was the start. But it was more of a collecting, right? Like when you go St. Frank, there's this like IT museum where you have all the old laptops and all the old tech stuff, right? So to me, that point of time was more like, oh, I own one of these. It was like collecting. It was not like investment or speculation, like this kind of thing. No, I mean, well, I wouldn't know the price will go up, right? It might also go to zero.
There's something appealing about the process you just described, the whole setting up the computer and all that.
Yeah.
Which we still have to go through that for using crypto right now because of the whole self-custody thing, which you can get into. Using a ledger, you know, you have to do all this different things just to get an asset in. And there's something geeky about it, which makes it appealing to some people.
Yes. To people who are into tech, DIY, you like to set up your own PC, right? Instead of just buying off the shelf, you like to configure it, having bigger drive, bigger RAM, better graphics card. I think that was the initial sort of audience coming into the crypto space. And there was this ethos, like privacy, not your keys, not your coin, like you own everything, you have control, no middleman.
Yeah, so you hold a ledger or in your case, the computer. Oh, I have one Bitcoin. Like, yeah. I'm in control.
Yeah,
in
control of your assets. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody can take it away from you.
Yeah, okay. Unless you hack.
Unless you hack or someone point a gun at you and force you to transfer the money.
Yeah,
otherwise, right. It is technically safe in that ledger or whatever device that you're holding your Bitcoin in. Is that still around, that one Bitcoin? I'm sure you have accumulated a lot more after that.
The Bitcoin is still around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really do anything with it. Mm. Even with the crypto boom,
2021.
I didn't sell it. Some of my friends will say, like, why you didn't sell it, right? Mm. Actually, there was a few boom. So let's say 2015, right? I bought it, $250 USD. Then 2017, it went up to 21K. I also never do anything with it.
You didn't?
Because I didn't pay attention. I didn't pay attention to it also. So I when I knew it, it was like, oh, 21K, okay.
Life
but I just leave it because it's at the point of time, I didn't feel that I need to sell it. Right? Mm. I just keep it. So same for 65. Some people will see this as, no, why you didn't sell it? You can sell it at high, then you can buy it lower again and all this stuff. I think this is can also take it as a lesson for me. And also is the way that different people have different investing strategy. So in my case, it was more of the passive buy and hold, right? You just buy the Bitcoin and hold. And it was a collectible to me, so I didn't do anything with it.
Interesting you used collectible to describe Bitcoin. You're treating it as an NFT before NFT was a thing. digital collectible, right?
Digital collectible. Yeah. To answer your question, I truly got back into crypto investing, right? Was 2021, early 2021, I think January that time.
So you participated in the recent boom.
Yes, and that was, going back is a different thing already. That was more to be very honest, it was more on speculation, right? You see wow, the price can go up so high, everyone was making money, right? That's where I decided to, let's take a look at crypto and what can I make from there. That phase was more to speculation. Right, a little bit different. And I didn't utilize the Bitcoin that I have also. It was like I on-ramp or I bring in new capital to try out.
So from 2015 to 2021, it was kind of at the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Until 2021, there was a huge fever, speculation, craze about it. The media is covering it. And then it caught your attention once again. And that's when you got in kind of as an investor, but there's some speculative elements involved as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct. 2021 going in was not the I love the technology kind of mindset. It was more of a, oh, there's money to be made, like speculative mindset.
Yeah.
At the start.
Understandable, because everyone was jumping in. There's a lot of FOMO, right? You feel missing out.
Yeah.
And therefore, everyone's riding it. High can go higher.
High can go higher. It will never come down. Yeah, that kind of mindset.
At that point in time.
Yeah. Up only, right?
Up only. How's your portfolio doing now?
Up only. Yeah, there was only
Because you mentioned you didn't sell at all during the height of it, right?
For Bitcoin.
For Bitcoin.
Yeah,
but you were dabbling in and out of like...
Because 2021, coming in, again, speculative purpose, right? So I also start to own other assets. So that was sort of like the trading, right? The trading. buy and sell, and DeFi, yield farming, this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you got crypto pill in a way. Which you described in the crypto world. Or it came from the matrix, that red pill, blue pill, right? You take the crypto pill, now it's like, oh, you're a whole
crypto world. You got sucked into the ecosystem.
Right.
Then it was also taking a lot up the time, like 24/7, because there's no, it's not like stock, right?
Yeah,
you end
close.
At yeah. I don't know 5 p.m. right, and Saturday Sunday there's nothing. Crypto there's no yeah. it's like 24/7, right? And and there was the NFT boom at that point of time, and a lot of things is happening. So every day you have a lot of stuff, like, a lot of news and all this.
Yeah. Yeah. Crypto being on for 24/7, it's not very good for work-life balance. But, well, it appeals to some people.
Yeah. Some people like it. Yeah, always on.
Yeah, it doesn't close shop.
Yeah.
Right. So you kept a Bitcoin, but all your other currencies, I mean, we call it altcoins, right? Which is anything other than Bitcoin.
Yes, correct.
And you trade in and out.
Yeah.
And so how did you do? How did your crypto portfolio do?
So so before I share the how did I do, right? So for me, I'm not really a trader. So when I got in for the speculation purpose, right? So yes, I bought a few those altcoins, hoping that it will go up. But subsequently, I start to learn about this thing called DeFi, like decentralized finance. And there's this thing called yield farming. And that was the period where, let's say you buy an ABC coin, then you stake the ABC coin and they give you more ABC coin than you go and sell. Like a Ponzi-nomics kind of concept. But that was really where I dwell more into. During that period of time, the portfolio, like we said earlier, it was only up only, right? It was a bit crazy, I was thinking at that point of time. And for example, Dogecoin. So I bought it, I think, February. Then shortly when Elon Musk coming in, make all the news and headline, I think within a short span of maybe one month, I 10x my initial capital.
Yeah.
So that period of time, right, was even now looking back, right, I myself also think that it was too good to be true.
Yeah.
Right. But that point of time, you wouldn't feel it. It was exactly what you say. It was like it will only go higher. So the portfolio at the point of time, for sure it's up only, but also has taken a hit for actually three major mistakes that I think. One will be, there was a period where play to earn was like booming within the sector, right? So everyone was saying the Axis Infinity. I didn't put into Axis, but I put quite a bit of my capital into a game, so that didn't work well. So I'm just sharing the mistake. Another was Wonderland. Wonderland was a ohm fork. So what they are doing this concept of rebasing token. So if you stick with them, then they will give you high interest. That wasn't a good judgment too. And of course, the big one where everybody knows about it will be UST. The Luna UST.
That's the big one.
That's the big one. That was the big hit to my portfolio. I think at least down 80%.
Because the UST went to zero.
Yeah. So it hit my
Luna
portfolio
went to zero
very hard.
Too. Yeah. Almost zero. Yeah. So
there's no like zero, right? It will go to like 0.00 because it's 18 decimal point.
Yeah.
Right. So this three was big lessons for me. But each of them, right, carry learning points.
Right, like for the game. Pause here, right? So you just describe what it was like back then, because not just the token itself goes up in price, but you could do a lot of things like play to earn. You could play games to earn more tokens.
Yes.
Or you could stake them to get more tokens, which is what you described by yield farming. And you could do all this because of the decentralized finance.
Yes.
Yeah. And everyone is really thinking, okay, it can only go up.
It can only go up, yeah. And there was a lot of narrative, right? So the narrative is the technology is improving, that mobile is making it easier compared to like having a desktop and to set up all this wallet, right?
Yeah, crypto is the future.
Yeah, crypto is the future. And
now with fiat currency and governments.
Kind of political argument where we have our control of our asset. No more printing, right? The printer goes
printing.
Off. Yeah. So a lot of narrative were like pushing. It's like the wave, so like going into a boom, state.
Right.
Super pump, yeah.
Yeah, and then after through all this, going through all this, right, you have three lessons learned from there.
These are my three key triggers to like affected my portfolio largely. And also, I also pick up the lessons from these three.
And because you actually suffered huge losses from yes. all this.
Yeah, yeah. It's like paying, it's like what they say, right? You play mahjong, then you always, when you start, you have to pay your tuition fees. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is kind of like a heavy tuition fees, lah. But like maybe like going for MBA class.
That's interesting because you got in at 2021, right? And you know yeah. the crypto space, right? There'll be the seniors, the senpai will tell you, this is nothing. Because they've been through,
you
know, boom and bust cycle as well.
Yeah, they will tell you
that. You're noobs, sir. this is your tuition fee, literally. Yeah, because you're a newbie, fee. Right?
So it's like, how do I put it? So people who went through the downturn,
yeah,
like
2017,
2018, Bitcoin was 3K, like 21K dropped to 3K.
Yeah, that's crazy too.
Yeah, and those who believe in it, right? Believe. I mean, those who believe and buy a 3K or let's say 5K,
yeah.
it went all the way back up to 65K. Yeah.
But they didn't sell back then if they still held.
If they sold, right, then I mean, it was a good call.
Yeah.
But those were the your so-called senpai, because they see through everything, right? They see a few turns already, then they
could still be holding all the way because they really see the future, like 10, 20 years. They really believe in it.
Yeah, yeah. I believe in it also. Like, my perspective changed throughout this whole journey, right? From when I first buy, taking it as a collectible, thinking, I own a piece of history. I just own one, not very expensive, right? That time, I enter for speculative purposes, right? To now, not only that I understand more about the crypto, the application that you can use with the blockchain, right? Understanding the technology behind, but I also understand more about like DeFi, right? How things are being built. Let me give you an example. When a certain token you stick and they give you more tokens, right? This is what they call tokenomics, right? Like you founding tokenomics. There must be a limited supply that they are able to give you, right? I start to look more into all this, right? Study and to be able to differentiate whether is this like the Ponzinomics where they keep printing tokens for you. Or is this like what they call right now, there's a new narrative called the real yield, where a protocol, a project earns in revenue and give you a share of the revenue, right? So very different kind of mindset right now where you look into all this. Like for NFT projects, right, there was the speculative period where anything that comes out, you just buy.
Just buy first.
Either you get into the pre-mint where you get allow list, then you buy and then immediately you sell. Like you flip, right? Some
That's
people
flipping.
Flip.
Okay.
To now learning more about the teams. Right? What are they going to build? And there are certain things that interest me in the space of NFT. So for example, people go after games.
Yeah.
So many NFT projects promise that, or rather they share that their roadmap is to go into metaverse. I want to build a game and all. But for me, I'm less into this actually. This is also a combination of the play to earn experience. Because I think game, now that I experienced this lesson, right? Game is not like, I want to build, then I can build, right? Today, if you raise 300K, maybe half a million, it's also not easy to build a game that you are talking about like Call of Duty, like this kind, right? So this kind of graphics, they are, I don't know, maybe multi-million game studio are behind it, building it. So it's not like, you know, you raise a little bit of assets that you can produce. So for me in NFT, I don't really go after, if a project says, if the main narrative is I want to go into a game, right? So you can go into a metaverse, I usually don't look at the NFT. I look at the NFT project, right? The team based on their past experience, or rather, do they have any Web2 experience? This is one of my learning points.
Okay.
So why do I say that? Because today, if a NFT project and if they have Web2 experience, right, meaning they could be a marketing house or a design studio, they are able to bring in brands. Because they are already working with brands. So for example, there's an NFT project. Their team members all come from a Web2 marketing agency. They are already working with big brands on their Web2 side. Right.
So Web2 is what we are familiar with right now, right?
Yeah, the digital Facebook, ads, all this stuff. Yeah.
And Web3 will be a world built by crypto.
Yes.
It's more like, decentralized.
And leveraging on NFT, and what can they do with it?
Okay.
Like this team, right? they are able to convince the brand and say, hey, why not you give Web3 a try? And this helps to bring value to the NFT itself that the team has built, right?
Mm.
So I see this as the trend moving forward. For myself, like Web2 brands coming into Web3. But how do they come in, right? They come in through different vehicles, right? They can do M&A, like Nike, they bought a Web3 company, or they hire Web3 people to join their organization, or they leverage on kind of like outsource, right? Leverage on agencies that have this experience. And these agencies, if they own NFT, they can easily bring them in. Mm-hmm. So right now, my narrative is I look at this kind of projects. This for NFT. At least for me, I thought it's a more risk-averse way of looking at whether the project will succeed or not. Yeah. I mean, they do well in Web2. At least I have some faith in them to do well in Web3.
Look at the track record.
Yeah, track record.
Yeah, so you've been through the speculation phase, and now that the hype has died down,
yeah,
you didn't give up. You are still in the crypto space.
Yeah.
You're still investing in it. But right now, what you're looking at is, well, the team, the vision, their track record, and you avoid certain areas of it because,
I don't understand. Games,
and because you don't understand it, you find your age, right?
Yeah, I find my age, yeah.
And use NFT as an example to describe how you look at the, how it works right now.
Yes.
But you also mentioned tokenomics, which I want to explain it a bit clearer. Oh, yeah. So like token and economics, these two words joined together.
Yeah,
and
then tokenomics.
It's the economics of each token, and it's like every... Anyone can create a coin, right?
Yes.
Theoretically speaking. Yeah. And after you created a coin, you can like create your own monetary, you know, policies.
Oh, yeah.
The coins can be issued out or taken back or burnt away. And that's describing tokenomics. How would you describe it?
Basically, you run your own economic policy when you release a coin. In fact, recently, I think they make it so easy to deploy your own coin, right? Right now, there's open source code where you click one button, boom, you have your own coins.
Yeah, it's just whether people
you can
buy
set
it or not,
your max limit, max supply, right? Yeah. You can, let's say
infinity
you
supply. There you go.
Yeah. You can 100 billion or 1 billion, or you can even set it to 1,000. Let's say you set it to 1,000, right? So this is your max supply. Remember that I shared like this thing about the crypto ethos of not continuously printing fiat. This hard cap of this supply thing also came from Bitcoin, 21 million. Yeah. So when people create coin, they have to have a token of the economics behind it. So they say that, oh, I set a limit of 1,000 coins maximum, right? That's going to be in the market. And the current circulation maybe is 100. So I'm going to, between this 100 to 1,000, I'm going to give it 10 years. So this is your supply curve, right? Then you will see the emission per year.
Right.
Now that you have this, then you can price it. You can price it and you can put it into a swap, a liquidity pool. Then you can decide how much you want. Let's say, example, right? Let's price it at 10 cents. Now people think that, okay, so what are you going to do with it? Oh, I'm going to make it into a exchange, and in the exchange, it will powered by this token. And as a user, I see that, oh, I think that this exchange has potential. The team behind knows what to do. They have a previous experience running exchange. I'm going to buy into this token, right? Because this token has the potential to go up. And that's where the tokenomics comes in, right? Because you will see that, oh, if I collect now, I have time. Between the max supply, it will not like be randomly suddenly become 1 million token, right? There's only 1,000 token for the next 10 years.
That's the circulation of it. And it goes back to supply and demand.
Supply
in
and
the case
demand.
Of Bitcoin, which you described, there's a hard limit set for supply, right?
Yeah.
And if demand continues to be high or goes up even higher in the future, well, technically something that is scarce and in demand will go up in value.
Scarcity is one of the thing for Bitcoin. They call it a store of value, right?
Right.
Yeah. Scarcity is on that. And
properties of a currency.
Properties of a currency and being able to sort of like fractionize it. Because you like for us we have 10 cent, 50 cent, 20 cent, right? Same for Bitcoin, they can do it because you can divide it. Divisible. I think that's the word, divisible. Yeah. So tokenomics goes closely very in line with this. What's the max supply circulation and what's the emission? And what do you plan to do? How do you plan to increase the value of the token? Like, so all of that just now I covered, right? I want to run a business. Business will be powered by its token. These are all my attributes. Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, so you didn't give up. Why is that so? I mean, you mentioned you really went up to research more, read into it.
Yeah.
I mean, for many people, if you've lost a huge chunk of your money, right? I mean, you gotta chill for a while. And see what happens.
Right?
So what's the process like?
I took a break also from like crypto, as in like...
After Luna, I assume.
After Luna, a few weeks. Yeah, a few weeks just to... There are many reasons. Okay, so to address your question, right? I never give up because... There's really a lot of things that application that you can do. And I really like the... So throughout the process from 2021, besides going into speculation, I also start to learn, like I say, like DeFi, NFT and all. But I also start to learn the technology behind, right? I start to appreciate. After the Luna downfall, I go even deeper, like understanding the technology behind. And there are a lot of applications that you can do. Like for example, WhatsApp chat and all this, right? We can also have this WhatsApp chat on... via addresses. So for example, right now, like I'm heading here for this interview, like just for example, right? And then you will be asking me for my phone number. Maybe I'm not comfortable with giving my phone number.
Yeah.
Then somehow I still need to stay in touch with you. Maybe I'll use email. But you can actually use a wallet address, right, to communicate between each other.
So it's not just for sending the currency, the coins.
Yeah, you can chat with it. And you don't need to reveal your phone number. At least for me, privacy, this topic, right, I'm very interested in it. So before I make content on crypto, right, I was making content on privacy, right, how to protect yourself online. If you are using different websites, how do you differentiate whether it is a phishing site or this kind of stuff. But that's because I have interest in this space. Same for VPN. You can use a blockchain, right, to power a VPN service, right? It makes it even more... then you can ensure that there's no locks. Because VPN service right now, some will be saying that they have no locks, but you do not know because it's a centralized entity sitting there saying, I don't keep any locks. Please use my VPN. This is just based on trust to an organization. But on the blockchain, it's trustless. Right? So today, if you're powering a VPN network over a blockchain, it's very expensive right now, right? But let's say you do it, everything is on the chain, right? Whether if there is locks or not. It's transparent, sorry. It's transparent. You can see what's happening. Third thing is, there's this Singapore company called Holdenot, right?
Holdenot,
So they are like Celsius. They take in your assets, they do something magical with it and give you a lot of interest. That magic didn't happen, then it also went down. Celsius, Holdenot, like these kind of companies, when they enter into bankruptcy and going down, right, they first had to pay all the decentralized finance debt first before they pay stakeholder. Why is that so?
Stakeholders, the customers, like people who put their money into Holdenot, right?
Yes.
We get our money Celsius, last, yeah. Right? Yeah,
okay. They had to get themselves out from the smart contract first before they handle the rest of stuff. The reason is because, and I strongly believe that the code is law. So there are lending and borrowing services on crypto, right? So if I'm, let's say, Celsius or Holdenot, I want to earn more interest because I already collected from the users, so I'll put it into a service like Compound, just for example, right? So I put it in, then Compound will give me interest. Or I put in assets, I put it as a collateral, then I borrow more from Compound and I do something else. I can do leverage trading, whatever. Whatever that I do for my business model, my main goal is to return more interest back to the users. When the downfall took place, right, where everything went crazy at that point of time in May, these kind of companies, they had to pay back to Compound first. Otherwise, their collateral will be liquidated. And you can see this all on the blockchain network. So it's like, again, transparent. Right? And you can see that because if they do not pay back the decentralized finance like Compound, right, and they got liquidated, right, they don't get back their collateral. You can see how interesting that they have to pay back protocol first over their users.
The customers,
right?
Are last.
Because they need to release their asset, right? And what is it bound to? It's bound by smart contract. Right? So when I see all this happening, right, it only increased my interest to look deeper into the technology, right?
Mm.
All this because the code behind is binding it. But again, there are also a lot of scam, a lot of hacks that is taking place. So I'm not saying that the code is like perfect and all this because anything is hackable, right? If someone says that we are not hackable, then I also have doubts.
Mm.
But I'm saying that these things are happening. People were able to, even the CEO, right, was saying that they don't have exposure to UST and whatever not. People were already speculating and diving into their addresses to find that if they had any interaction with UST, and they had, right? Even though the founder keeps saying no, but on the blockchain addresses, right, shows that whole node addresses are like they had deposit in UST, and from there, they were affected by the UST situation, right? So all these are transparent. So today, any banks in general, you don't know what's happening behind the scene, right? So like 2008,
okay.
2008 right? Is it 2008, the financial crisis?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't know what's happening behind the scene.
All
the leveraged stuff. You just using, know you put your deposit into the bank. In the end, they will give you some interest. Mm. Whatever they do, you don't really know. I don't see the bankers got any more suffering than us. Like we didn't do all those leverage, but we got affected.
Yeah.
But in the crypto space, right, the technology itself enables you as a user to be able to see all this, right? What's taking place. So right now I move my example to Compound. It's a lending and borrowing. So it's like exactly like a bank. But whatever they do, because it's based on the smart contract, right? Every smart contract has addresses, you can trace it. Right? You can use this thing called a BigQuery. Where you put in an address, then it will show you a flow chart where all the assets are being flowed into. Right? You can do your research there. You can see as a bank, right, a quote bank, what are they doing with their assets?
Mm.
Right. So to me, that gives me confidence, or at least I can monitor if I want what's happening to this project itself.
Yeah. So you described the different aspects of crypto that appeals to you. This most recent point was about openness, about transparency.
Yeah, transparency.
You can trace everything on the blockchain.
Yes.
You mentioned decentralization a lot.
Yeah.
You also talk a bit about privacy. Not sure why that's important for you. Are you running away from something?
Kidding. No,
yeah. And you use a pseudonym, right? Like Boss Lee.
Yeah.
And you also talk about the technology, like all of these appeal to you. So give me a sense of a conviction, right? How much of a portfolio was in crypto during 2021 and how much of your portfolio is in crypto right now?
When I started in 2021, it's like I sold my stock to go like 100% all in 100% in crypto. Yeah, the portfolio. Right now, of course, through all these lessons, right, need to learn how to, you know, be more diversified. But
so all in back then, 100%, yeah. Or close to 100 at least.
You weren't in equities.
To
put everything in crypto. But even now, right, I diversify, but I'm still about 80% crypto.
That's not diversified to some people.
Diversify within crypto maybe right now.
Okay.
Like for example, last time was a lot of
within the 80% got a lot of coins. Diversification there.
So this 80% inside got a lot of coins. Yeah, something like that. But I have strong conviction. It's because I don't understand. So I start to read more, like, you know, things like Charles Munger or like Warren Buffett, right?
Yeah.
They buy into things that they know, right?
Yeah.
So what is the, at this point of time,
what do you know?
What right? do I know mm. best and the most? I know crypto, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know I like to use all these tools. I monitor the individual altcoins. I see what they do. I try to understand whether their yields are truly real yields they are giving to you, right? So then I buy into them.
Mm.
So today, if I am good at stocks, like I know how to see Shopify, if I know how to read balance sheet and all, I mean, I know the simple one, but if I'm a good investment analyst, right, then maybe my portfolio will be even more diverse, right? I will go into the stock itself.
Mm.
And our time is finite. Since I feel I'm decent in my perspective, I'm decent at looking at all these projects, these kind of protocols, then I continue in these protocols. So the extension back to stock is less of individual stocks, but more to ETF.
The 20%?
Yeah, because it's easier.
Yeah, because you're not going to go into individual stock. And
because I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm not good at it.
Income statements and all that.
Yeah.
So you're describing your portfolio allocation as a form of your knowledge base, right? Because you know a lot more about crypto. You're really reading into it. And then stocks, okay, you don't feel that you know as much. So 20% there, just to so-called diversify a little bit. And it's in ETFs.
If anything worse happen, then I still have some stocks to save me.
So 20% is there for that.
As long as you don't die, you slowly climb back, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like startup, right? So I feel so many times I still try to do some random stuff. Like, I still attempt to do startups. And I might do it again. Mm. But it shouldn't stop you from trying. So to me, if let's say crypto goes to zero, totally zero or negative, right?
Mm.
So at least I still have some assets to help me slowly climb back.
Right.
This kind of mindset.
If a family with kids, right?
Yes.
One kid. Because
I buy crypto for my kid also.
Okay, tell me about it.
Yeah. So I read this book. I forgot what book. The Millionaire Teacher or something like that. It's a book. Like says, inside got an example that this mom buys $50 worth of VOO.
World Index.
It's an
S&P 500. Index, right. I've heard people do that for the kids, but you buy crypto instead.
For the kid every month. And I think when age of 21, the kid got some assets.
Yes.
Got some assets. Then I thought, I wanted to try this also.
I can do the same, but in crypto.
I started with, because I read that book, right? So I follow. I also started at like $10. I use $50. Yeah, $50 also. I follow the same lah, $50. VO, the S&P. Then after I got into crypto, I stopped at $50. I used that $50 buy crypto. Just every month, just buy $50 of crypto for her.
So at age 21, she's gonna get,
either zero or... But it would be real cool, right? I'm just gonna give her a ledger, say good luck. This is all I have for you.
$0.
And you don't need to give what bank account and all this. You just need to give one ledger and say good luck, take good care of these keys.
this is
the real keys, right? You open it, either it's zero or there's something inside.
So either you'll be really smart, everyone's like, whoa, you're the best dad. Or you're like,
what is this, right? Why are you giving me a zero?
Because she's still young. I'm assuming she still have like 15, 20 years before 21 years old.
Yeah, long time.
A long time.
Yeah. So this is my conviction for crypto. Right. Yeah. At least now. Between now.
I understand the conviction, but do you think your portfolio is overweight on crypto? I mean, of course, you're coming from the point of view that, okay, this is what I know and therefore I invest more into it.
Yeah.
But of course, another school of thought will be telling you, okay, just diversify if you don't know what, which will be the S&P 500, the World Index, but you only allocate 20% to that. So do you think it's a bit overweight?
People tell you that? I don't know how to answer this question because portfolio diversification is a complex subject. People study about it. There's like this concept called the modern portfolio theory, right? It's this kind of thing. But to me, I can also build an index within crypto. I can also build an index within crypto. Mm. Like for example, I can own blue chip, right? Like Bitcoin, ETH, then ETH, Ethereum. Then I can put together with some other altcoins. For example, regularly used by a lot of people and having a high TVL. TVL is a total value lock. Value lock, right? I can also build a index within it. So I don't see why it is overweight.
I want to understand your view of the world, right, that led you to this decision and this commitment and this conviction that you have.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that if you go down the rabbit hole in the world of crypto, which you did, it really does change how you see the world.
Oh, yes.
It changes how you see money. It changes your relationship with the whole assets, how you see assets and how you manage it and all that. Do you find that 2021 has really a huge impact on you?
Oh, yes. So last time, it was more of buy ETF and buy some blue chip and just don't really look into what's behind it, right?
Mm.
Personal finance or finance was really a sits behind.
Mm.
But right now, it's more of understanding how the economic works and also being more active and prudent in own personal financial management. Some people might not find it prudent because you have 80% in crypto. Mm. But because of the conviction and how I see this space and my knowledge in it, right? So I feel that it's okay.
Yeah,
but it does change the way that I look at money also. Like this statement always stays with me when I read it also. It's like a dollar saved now. So right now we are always trying to save, right? Then we get interest. So how much is interest? 1%. I don't know, maybe 3%.
Oh, because back then you were looking at 3-digit, 4-digit kind of percentage, right?
That one is like 3-4,000 APY, right? But even now, you still can get 8% on USDC. It is only right for me to go for the higher yield, right? That's one.
Yeah, which is USDC, a stable coin that's pegged to the US dollar. Okay.
Another thing is that if you think about it, this inflation and all this, how do we keep our assets? So if I keep saving, right? But it keeps going down. Like inflation is 5.3%, right? Recently, the Singapore one.
Yeah.
So every dollar, I keep losing value. So why would I want it in fiat? And if I put it into stock, let's say you put it into REITs, some REITs might, I'm not saying all REITs cannot, I'm saying some REITs might not catch up with the inflation. So the dividend you get might be less. For crypto, I'm not saying that it will always be more, but if you put it in the blue chip, like if you believe that Bitcoin is a store of value and for Ethereum is a form of money, then the risk to reward ratio is higher over there. I mean the reward ratio.
What's something about crypto that people often misunderstand? They feel that you need to set things right. You mentioned a lot about the benefits of crypto.
So right now, so I have a YouTube channel, right?
Right.
I can also see the engagement for the YouTube channel coming down. So there are many reasons, right?
Hype
is over, speculation, a lot of scam. And there are really a lot of scam.
Yeah.
And because right now, the non-custodial wallet thing, you're keeping your own keys and your keys can be hacked, or you can click a phishing link and your assets might be gone. All these are just part and parcel, I feel, to transiting. What I'm trying to say is that there are a lot of applications that can be powered by the blockchain technology itself that is interesting and can bring the innovation forward. So it's not just about speculation, right? That is speculation. Can you make money speculating in a lot of free mint NFT? Or even right now, there are still a lot of new coins coming out, a lot of degens, right? They call it. I'm still a degen at heart. I still have a very small, small allocation for degen. But I'm saying that it's not just this, right? There's real life application behind it. JP Morgan is running a private blockchain for their own banks, right? So public blockchains like Ethereum, you can see entities, big companies coming in, right? Onboarding. So to me, I hope that people do not see it as a scam. Or it's just a speculation only. There is real utilities behind it. And also, not your keys, not your coin. Same like the fiat printing. If they keep printing, we will only have higher inflation, then our value will be gone. So to me, I trust crypto. But most importantly, there's a lot of application behind it. It's not just for speculation.
Right. And you're spreading awareness of crypto in your YouTube channel. Go check it out. Check out Boss Lee's YouTube. He will start off with Jose Bo.
Yeah, Jose Bo.
And because
not so Jose, during May.
Not so Jose.
At the May period.
Not so Jose. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast and you go over to Boss Lee's YouTube channel, right? He says his views going down because now the hype over already. But we want to continue to be educated, right? So you
but
go
I'll
over.
Continue to stay. Yeah.
You continue to stay.
Yeah, because educate, ma.
Yep.
Yeah. So my content also changes. It changes as I grow, right? So from just speculation purpose, go into this yield, that yield, why is this yield happening and how is this yield taking place to how can we use EtherScan or BigQuery, right? How can we use this to track different stuff? These are the tools that we can use. So my content also changes.
Yeah, really teaching people how to DYOR, do your own research.
Do your own research. Go to fundamentals. And also, own your own assets, how you can truly own your assets. That's why the viewers change.
So go leave a comment on the YouTube videos, Jose Bo from the Financial Coconut. So that he knows we came from this podcast. All right, thank you so much, Boss Lee.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Stay tuned all the way after this quick note for our personal money question segment. Before that, I hope you've learned something useful today. Join our Telegram group, follow us on our socials, and check out the
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
FinancialCoconut.com.
What has been your best and worst investment? Doesn't have to be a financial one.
Okay, the best investment, I would say, again, getting into crypto. Yeah, because not only this improved my knowledge, right? It also got me an opportunity in the Web3 space. Mm. So that is, I think, is the best. And I really like it. The worst would definitely be Terra Luna. Mm-hmm. But if I could add, I think whatever the founder did, right? So we cut that aside. Mm. I just like to add that UST itself was an interesting experiment. I think CZ, the CEO of Binance, also said that what they tried to do was an interesting experiment. It failed. Because without experiment, right, there will be no innovation, right? And that's the only way to push this space moving forward. But what the founder did, right, that's another thing altogether. We have to separate this. Worst investment will be Luna.
Yeah, so there will be more innovation in this space in terms of how stable coin is being.
Definitely. Yesterday, MAS released a proposal, right? So they public review how they treat stable coin and all this. It's part of the journey moving forward to have a more regulated setup for crypto.
Okay. What is something that is under $100? That you find it to be a game changer, very useful.
Game changer. Yeah. So I like this question because I never thought that I always thought that keyboard is keyboard. I never thought that mechanical keyboard is so cool. Like, it's so good to use. So I bought a second-hand mechanical keyboard, right? That was $50. Wow, it really changed, game changing. Then I cannot use back normal keyboard anymore. It's like the tactile feel really, I'm not very into it, so I don't really know. I think I got a secondhand blue switch. I never got into the looping and all this kind, but I really enjoy using it.
I'm laughing because everyone in the set is laughing and nodding their head. And it's like, wow, really very tech, very geeky, you know, really love this such
Yeah, thing. This one, mechanical keyboard, game changing. I can never use back normal keyboard.
Once you go mechanical keyboard, you cannot. That good. And you try it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my last question for you is a place that you learn from that you think is underrated.
Yeah, this book called Tao of Charlie Munger.
Oh.
It's a very quick read. But he shares a lot of insights. And I think it's a good read at this point of time during the bear market. Right? He will share with you his failure. Right? He's not like success all the time. And he shares with you the reason why he failed last time and how patient got him to what he has
now. Where
he
is now. Yeah. It's interesting how Charlie Munger is actually not that into crypto himself.
Yeah.
I'm learning from him.
Learn the strategy that he used.
Right,
yeah,
and his mindset.
Mm.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.